those who they consider most valuable to their cause. Although the president's brother is one of the hostages, the president himself, Alberto Fujimori, refuses to negotiate with the rebels unless they lay down their arms and release all the captives. Most countries of the world have supported him in his stance against the rebels. His bottom line seems to be, although a ransom has been requested, there will be no ransom paid. Every single ransom story has at least three stages to it. There is the retention, there is the request, and there is the rescue. The first stage is when one or more people are taken captive and retained. The second stage is when the details of the ransom are given, stating specifically what is required for the release of those retained. And the third stage is the process that takes place to release those that have been retained. Now, you know as well as I do that sometimes the process works and hostages are set free and everybody has this overwhelming sense of relief. Quite frankly, sometimes the process fails and hostages die. Anyone here ever been taken captive and held for a ransom? Then you don't know your Bibles. You may not know it, but every single one of us have been taken captive and held for ransom. All of us have been hostages. Now today what we're going to do is see from the Scripture how every one of us have been set free from a bondage that is far more serious and dangerous than any terrorist plot you have ever imagined or heard about. Now I obviously didn't arrange the hostage crisis in Peru just so I could have a good sermon illustration, but I can't pass up the opportunity. It's a great way to tie in to the Scripture. Now you need to know that I had arranged this passage long before that event took place. I love how the Lord puts these things together. Anyway, today we come to a study of another title or name that has been given in Scripture to Jesus, and that name is a ransom. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we read these words, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Hebrews 9:15 adds, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." Please join me in prayer as we begin to explore this truth. Lord, our minds go to those 74 people still held hostage by the rebels in Peru. We think of people who throughout many countries today are captive by forces or groups or money-hungry individuals or people seeking revenge. We pray, Lord, that wherever people are found who are in that kind of pain today, that you will grant them peace of heart and release from their captors. But Lord, this morning we also turn our attention to the truth that is found in your word about our own captivity. And we pray that as we examine what it means that you are our ransom, we pray, Lord, that you would open up this truth to us and help us to discover it and experience it anew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I asked this morning how many of you had ever been taken captive and held hostage for a ransom, nobody put up their hand. Now, either you were just waking up and haven't gotten into it, or you probably, like most people, haven't actually thought of yourself as a hostage. How many of you have consciously thought of yourself as a hostage? No, nobody does. And yet this is so absolutely essential to understanding the gospel message, it's important for us to delve into this morning. In 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul spoke of unbelievers as those who needed to come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. In Galatians 4:3, we read that when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. That sounds like a hostage taking to me. The Scriptures clearly state and teach that every single human being has been born into sin with a sinful nature. Now, those may be words that you're more familiar with. How many of you are aware that you have a sinful nature? Okay, now the hands go up. See, what that means, though, in very practical terms, is that the reason we sin is because it is the most natural thing in the world to do. I don't think anybody has to say, oh, I don't want to sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, it's the opposite. Oh, I don't want to sin, but oh, there I go again. We sin because it is so natural. And the reason it is so natural is because it's part of our nature. We have to sin. We are hostages to sin. We are bound to sin. Now, thank God there's a way out of that hostage situation, but before we look at it this morning, I want you to notice another side to this captivity that is possible. In Galatians 5:1, Paul declared, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery." The implication here is that it is possible for someone who has been set free from sin to actually go back and be taken captive again. And remember, when Paul wrote his letters, who was he writing to? Was he writing to heathen? Who was he writing to? The churches. He was writing to Christians in the churches. And in his letter to the Colossian Christians, he said in chapter 2, verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." I've seen it happen many, many times. People who have professed their faith in Jesus Christ are caught once again in a former sin. They're led down the garden path by some doctrinal error, or they're sucked into an immoral relationship, or they're held in bondage by fear, or they're tied down by some legalistic traditions. We could go on and on and on this morning itemizing these various bondages that grip God's people. And I'm not going to do that this morning. But I simply want to state for you and for me this morning, if you are held captive today by sin in any of its forms, and you know it, and you want to be free, or if you know what it's like to want to do right but not have the power to do it, or if you know the pain of falling again and again and again while deep down you long to live victoriously, or if you find your life twisted because you have bought into a pack of lies of what it means to serve God properly, if you have any form of bondage in your life, dear friend, this morning, then today I have some absolutely wonderful news for you. But before you hear that good news, you have to know the bad news. And the bad news is this: you and I are hostages, and the ransom that has been set for our freedom is very, 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 very high. In the hostage crisis in Peru, the Tupac Amaru rebels are demanding the release of 400 of their fellow colleagues, or their fellow rebels. Now, that's a huge request. Can you imagine being the president and having to negotiate and having to make those kind of decisions on which your country's stability or the death of other individuals is involved? That's a tough call. But you know what? As high as that ransom is, and as significant as the ramifications would be, it is still doable. The president can simply sign a paper and make it happen. Those who kidnap a child from some wealthy person may demand millions of dollars as a ransom, but here again, at least it is doable. But what about those of us who are held captive to sin? What about those of us who can't get out of that bondage? What about those of us who can't get released from that fear or that temptation or that failure or that relationship that keeps bringing us down? What about those of us who can't get out of it? Is there any ransom that will set us free? What about those of us who can't kick the habit? Who can't change our ways and our faults no matter how hard we try? Have you ever felt like your situation was hopeless? Like that particular thing with which you struggle just can never have victory? Could there ever be a way out? What about all of us who are destined for the grave? You know, statistics show that one out of one dies. You ever wondered how in the world we're going to beat that one? Is there any ransom that can set us free from that? Well, Psalm 49:7-8 says, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." Why is that? Hebrews 9:22 tells us that the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. We say, well, that's easy. Let me shed my blood and there'll be forgiveness. Just a minute. There's more to it than that. Let me illustrate. Suppose somebody kidnapped your child this afternoon, or someone that you love, and they demanded a $10,000 ransom from you. So that individual was important enough for you to rescue, to ransom, so you went out and found 10 $1,000 bills. The only problem was each of them were torn in half. Do you think that your captors would accept the payment? Good morning. Would your captors accept 10 $1,000 bills, but they were torn in half? No, why? Well, how about if you gave them 9 good bills and one that was only half there? Would they be satisfied? No. They would expect money that was whole, complete, and good enough to be cashed anywhere, and that every single bill was perfectly good tender. A ransom must be paid in completion in order for the release of the captives. Well, it is the same with the ransom required for our sin. The only payment that would be enough to release us from captivity would be perfect blood, sinless blood, blood without even one single tear or defect. Now, do you know anyone who has blood like that? I don't. Do you? Anybody here this morning have perfect blood? That's the bad news. That's the very bad news. The ransom is so high that no human being can pay it. I guess that means that we're just destined to bondage, captivity, and slavery forever, eh? Or huh? My Canadianisms are slipping through there. Does that mean we'll just have to continue on making excuses for our failures and inability to win victory? We'll blame it on our parents or our genes or something else rather than just get the victory? Does it mean we always have to struggle and keep failing and failing again? Will we always be victors? Will we always be victims of the cruel captors of sin and death? Or is there a way out? I have a confession to make to you. I very much enjoy a good, thrilling, fast action movie in which the villains are overcome by the hero, all hostages are released, and sometimes, you know, there's a lot of gunfire and all that kind of stuff. I know you're not supposed to watch gunfire because it's supposed to. I've never shot anybody, and I don't plan to, but I like a good action movie. Like I say, especially when the good guys beat the bad guys and pull the hostages and win. Anybody else like a movie like that? Okay, now we're all confessing to each other. But you know what? This is one case where Alfred Hitchcock and James Bond and Rambo and Chuck Norris and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis all go down in flames. They have nothing. They have nothing when it comes to comparison of thriller stories. You can't find any better rescue story in the entire world, Hollywood included, than what you find in the New Testament of the Bible. It's got to be the all-time best thriller. The all-time best rescue. The all-time best story. It's got to be the best. Have you ever looked at it through those eyes again? Psalm 107 says, "He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains." Who is this action hero who does such a thing? Hosea 13:14 says, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death." Who can do such a thing without special camera effects? Who can make that happen? Jeremiah 31:11 says, For the Lord will ransom Jacob and redeem them from the hand of those stronger than they. You see, there's only one such qualified person to ever walk this globe. Only one person has ever had sinless blood. Only one person has ever had the power over death. Only one person has ever been able to free people from their sins. Only one person has ever provided strength for our weakness. Only one person could ever afford the ransom price that was demanded for those who were held captive by sin. And 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 declares, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Dear friends, our ransom, the ransom that has set us free from darkness, from bondage, from death, from Satan, from sin, from hell, the ransom that was so high that no human being could ever pay, the ransom that was a must, or you and I would have been retained in our captivity forever, that ransom is none other than Jesus Christ. That's who He is. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" Imagine the scene this morning. Okay, you may say this is too Hollywoodish, but I know that your mind thinks this way, so does mine. Imagine the scene. You are taken captive by some wild man with a gun. And for your freedom, he demands $20 billion. And the life of the guy who owns the $20 billion. Now, the only guy in the world able to rally that amount of cash and willing to do so, strangely, does it. He gets the money. He gives it to this wild man who's got a gun to your head. He takes your place, lets you go free, and the bullet goes through his head. You're free only because he paid the outlandish ransom and died in your place. Now, this morning you probably think, nobody would ask $20 billion for me. I'm not worth that much. Friend, listen to the story of the gospel again. You may not think you are worth $20 billion. You may not think you're worth being redeemed. But God thought so. Do you hear it? God thought you were worth not just that much. He thought you were worth more. He figured you were worth more than all the glories of heaven that He set aside. He thought you were worth more than His very lifeblood, which He poured out for you. He thought you were worth more than anything else in the universe because He set it all aside to come here and give His life for you. That's how much you're worth to Him. And He did it so that you and I could be released from our bondages. And as He hung on the cross, dying, one of the last things Jesus said was, "Tetelestai." Many of our Bibles translate that, "It is finished." Do you know what it really meant? In the original language, it meant, "Paid in full." Do you hear it? The law demanded a price that none of us could pay. God Himself came down here, stretched out His arms in love, and paid it in full. Paid in full. It's finished. The ransom has been paid. And you and I are free. You may say, "I'm not free." Why? The ransom has been paid. Oh, but I'm still in my sin. Why? The ransom has been paid. Oh, but I'm a Christian, but I still struggle and I can't get victory over this. Why? The ransom's been paid. Do you hear it? I needed to hear that again these last couple weeks. I've been going through a time in my life where I've been struggling. Struggling with a certain area of my life, and I determined before God, "Lord, I'm not going into a new year continuing to struggle. I want to know that freedom which You purchased for me on Calvary. And I'm not going to let You go until I get it."
Dear friends, coming to Jesus like that and asking Him and realizing again that it was my blood-bought possession, I have entered again into the freshness of His liberty. And I want to declare that to you this morning. It's available for me. It's available for you. There is no reason why we should maintain or stay in any kind of bondage when freedom is ours in Jesus Christ. Amen? How do we respond to such an amazing, thrilling, action-packed love story? How do you respond to that? David said in Psalm 71:23, "My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed." You watch on TV when people are released from hostage situations. What are they doing? They're going, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm out." What are they doing? How are they responding? There's joy. There's rejoicing. Some are bursting out of there, throwing arms around people. Dear friends, when you're released and you know it, there has got to be a reaction. There has got to be praise flowing from your lips. The people who do not praise and thank God for their release either haven't been released or they don't know it. But people who have been released and know it, dear friends, there's going to be a fountain of praise that bursts forth from our inner sanctuary. In Psalm 107:2-8, the psalmist then challenges us, "Let the redeemed, those who've been bought back, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men." In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul reminds us, "You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." In 1 Corinthians 7:23, he adds, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." In Galatians 5:1, he nails it down where he says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." The bottom line of this is this, dear friends. The unbelievably high ransom for our freedom has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. We've been released from the bondage of sin and death. We are free. We are free. Say it with me. We are free. That's what the Scriptures declare. We are free. Now, the question this morning is, having that freedom in Christ purchased, paid for in full, do you want to go back to slavery? Do you want to run back and serve your former captor? Do you want to go back and be bound again by the entanglements of sin? Well, if not, are you walking in the complete, absolute freedom that Jesus purchased for you? It's there for you. It's there for you this morning. If you have never yet, dear friends, walked out of the bondage of sin and death, if you have never yet come to Christ and taken His provision, if you have never yet experienced that being set free from the bondages of your past, this morning you can be. Your ransom is Jesus. If you're here this morning and you have been released in your past and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, but when you look inside this morning, you may see somebody who has been trapped by sin again or someone who's toying with sin on the side. I want you to know as well this morning, there's freedom for you today. And His name is Jesus. All of this is found in Jesus, our ransom. Today, I invite you to let Him tear away the bars of your prison, to break the chains off your wrist, off your mind, off your heart, off your soul, to let Him set you absolutely free. And this is more than just nice words at the end of a sermon, dear friends. What better way to start a new year than free? Free. Absolutely free. That's what Jesus has for you and for me. Let's take it. Amen? Lord Jesus, You know our hearts. You know how we struggle as human beings with sin and against sin. Even the Apostle Paul said that there was this turmoil inside, that the things he wanted to do, he didn't, and the things he didn't want to do, he did. There was this warfare between his new nature, which wanted to please You, and the constant pressure and hassle and temptation of sin. But Lord, thank You that those of us who are in Christ are no longer captives by sin. It may be there, but it is no longer our master. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us how to know you as our ransom, how to live in you as our ransom, and how to experience that full and rich and absolute freedom that you purchased for us on Calvary. Lord, you know the hearts of everyone here this morning. You know the issues that individuals are struggling with. And I pray, Lord, that as we take this time to celebrate your ransom sacrifice, Spirit of God, we ask that even as we worship you in this way, as we encounter you through the bread and the wine, Lord Jesus, I pray that this would be a place this morning when the bars are torn away, where the chains fall silent, and where people are released to the glory of God. Do this among us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we approach our communion service, let's be singing hymn number 206, There is a Redeemer. Thank God for that.